Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. It feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Better relationships equal better sex. Sinclair Institute, the leader in sex education products for adults, has been saying it for over 20 years. I've seen some of their DVDs, and I highly recommend them. Find Sinclair's ad on my products page on my website, sexwithemily.com, and save 50% off any one item when you put in Emily50 at checkout. Enjoy the show. I promise your sex life will improve. You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com, where you can listen to all of our podcasts, sign up for our mailing list, which you should do ASAP, like my Facebook page, Facebook, Twitter, Sex with Emily, all that stuff, and just check us out. Today's show, we have a special guest. It's Connor Habib. He has a sex and relationship advice show that appears weekly on Logo TV's new Now Next website. He's a writer, lecturer, and adult film actor. His writing has appeared in Salon.com, Reality Sandwich, The Dish, The Advocate, and many anthologies, including Best Sex Writing of 2013. His book on sex and culture will be published in early 2014. He lives in San Francisco where he runs a spirituality and science discussion
group. You're a busy man, science discussion group. Hi, Connor.
Hi.
Thanks for being here today.
What's up? I'm happy to be here.
I'm so excited that you wrote and you wanted to come on the show, and you're an adult film performer, writer. You kind of do it all. You're hot. You got to check out this picture. We're going to post some of those pictures of you on
my website. Yeah, just don't Google me at work. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't Google him at work. Not safe for work. But first, let's talk about... let's talk about what you do. So gay porn.
Yes.
Do you ever do straight porn?
No.
You can't. You wouldn't, right?
It's not
would
that
you?
I can't, but no, I was actually asked to do it once.
Okay.
But I've
You're so cute.
Thank you. But I've literally never had sex with a woman, so I didn't want my first time to be on camera.
No. It'd no little, one does.
Yeah.
Right? You'd be like, oh, not a good idea.
Not even if you're getting paid. It's kind of embarrassing to lose your virginity on camera.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
It's so like a frat prank or something.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Oh, my God. But that could actually be interesting, the gay man having, but that's not what you do. So what is it about? How do you prepare for a shoot?
You know, I have to tell you, it
like
doesn't...
you're naked. Like, I feel like I would tan 100 times. I would... you know, not eat for a month? Like, what do you do?
Well, that kind of preparation, sure. Like, you get a tan and you go
you
to the gym
that.
A lot.
Yeah.
And you go to the gym a lot, you eat well, and eating well can be kind of annoyingly restrictive, but, you know, you do that to stay in shape. I'm not, like, you can see I'm not, like, some huge, completely chiseled, buff guy. So, you know, I'm more of just a normal guy who's in shape.
Right.
And so, like, I don't have to go completely crazy, but I also kind of have to work in some ways harder than those people who are just
right.
like gigantically buff and have gotten there, you know what I mean?
Right, but yeah. You must have other mad skills. No, but you look fit to me, but
thanks.
I don't know. So what's that like being on a porn set? Do you know the people before you're having sex with them?
No, you just get right into it.
So you're just like, hi, nice to meet you. It's like any first day of work. And then...
Yeah, if it's nice to meet them, you say that. No, it's always nice to meet them. Yeah, you just show up, and I mean, sometimes they'll send you photos of the person that it's going to be. I mean, you usually know who it is before you show up, so
right.
you have some idea.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can watch their movies before you show up or
right,
whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And are you in, have you ever been like, oh God, I don't want to have sex with this person today and I have to, or?
Well, only in the sense it's sort of like any job, like some days you don't want to go in and some days you're totally fine with it.
Right.
You know, there's never been someone I've been like, I don't want to have sex with. There have been some people who like they have kind of a bad attitude, and that's more of a turn off like than any sort
right.
of physical thing.
What's their attitude like?
Oh, well, just like, I don't want to be here, or too aloof, or not friendly,
right.
or whatever. That doesn't happen very often, I have to say, but there have been a few instances of that, and that's
okay.
uncomfortable, because you're going to be having sex with that person for hours.
Right, exactly.
So.
Literally, I was on a porn set once, like
yeah.
hours. Like, at first you're like, oh my God, they're having sex, and then you're like, oh my God, they're still having sex, 3 hours go by.
Yeah, I'm
like,
hungry.
Is someone going to come
yeah.
already, or what's going to happen?
Totally.
But, so do you, how does it affect your sex life? Like, do you feel like, how long have you been doing adult films?
Four years now,
okay.
and a half maybe.
And has it changed your attitude towards sex, like when you're with someone that you like, a partner or something?
Yeah,
if you're with someone that you like,
I'll tell you how it's changed in a really awesome way, actually. So, like, okay, maybe you can relate to this.
Yeah.
Have you ever been somewhere and like some dude walks into the bar or wherever you are, and he's like totally sort of jacked, and he has that like societally handsome, like good looks and all
yeah.
that kind of stuff. Now, before I was in porn, I would like react to that. I'd be like, who's that? I would like what they call prairie dogging, where you sort of like stick your
right.
neck out and like look around. Now, I have no reaction to it at all, because I get paid to have sex with people that look like that. So now I actually know who I'm really attracted to. Like, all that societal stuff
right.
is just out of the way.
So it's changed who you're... So what kind of guys are you attracted to?
I like all sorts of guys. I don't really have a type. There are certain features that I sometimes find myself attracted to. Like, I like when guys are a little chubby.
I know,
actually.
You were saying Menace. Sorry,
yeah.
Menace.
Yes.
Menace is listening to this. Yeah, he's
yeah,
a little chubby, but he's losing weight right now. But he thinks Menace is cute.
Menace, don't lose that weight.
Yeah.
I like, you know, big ears that stick out. I kind of like that.
Oh.
Someone who's like a little goofy. Like, I kind of like that. Not goofy, the character, you know.
Right.
But,
no,
yeah.
you know what you mean. Like, yeah. not like classically good looking.
Yeah, exactly.
So did you have to learn like other... Like, have you always just been really good at sex, or did you have to learn different tips, like different positions and things to be in porn?
Yeah. Well, I mean, being good at sex is not the same as being good at porn. I mean, you should be good at
exactly.
sex.
Exactly.
But it's, and people don't, I think you know, it's like people don't necessarily make that connection that being in porn is performative. And
it is.
So, like, it's actually kind of athletic. It's not mechanical. It's like, being able to play a sport really well is like, I'm going to get my body to do this thing. I'm going to think about it and not think about it at the same time. And
right.
I'm just going to perform, show up, and do my best. That's what porn is like. It's like playing sports, basically.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
So that's different skills than being good at sex, but I'm pretty good at sex, too.
I bet you are. How do you even try out for porn? Do they just have you on the set and then you just do it and then they see if they like you and they...
Yeah, I mean, often you just send in applications, or, I mean, sometimes people are discovered, like, that's sort
right.
of what people think happens, but usually, more often than not now, people send in applications, which I think is really cool, because it sort of gets rid of that image of people just sort of falling into porn, or being sucked
right.
in, or whatever. It's like, now, for the most part, if you're in it, it's because you wanted to be in it, you applied, you, like, sent off
yeah.
your information, you really tried for it, you
okay.
know?
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So what do you think about porn? Like, you were saying that it's not, I mean, well, kind of, I was talking about it being a, what have you learned about sex? I don't think that porn is the best place for people to learn about sex. I always say that a lot of people watch porn, a lot of kids, young kids today, that's their first entree into sex is watching porn. porn. And I feel like a lot of times, right, you're doing a shot because it visually looks pleasing on camera, but maybe it's not a position that necessarily feels good, or...
Yeah, yeah, I mean...
Is it same in gay porn, you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think just for all porn, like, you shouldn't hold yourself up to the standard of porn.
Right, that people doesn't, do, though.
Yeah, totally, and that's messed up, but you can learn a lot from porn. You can get inspiration from it, you can get turned on by it, you can think of new positions and all that kind of stuff, but to hold yourself up to the standard of it is wrong, because we spend hours and hours to make, you know, a 20-minute scene. So, like, you don't see all the work that goes into all that positioning, all that kind of stuff. And you can't... I mean, if you did that in real life every time you had sex, you'd be really bored.
Really bored and exhausted.
Yeah,
and totally. Sleeping all the time. That's so true. What do you think about a lot of straight women liking gay porn?
Yeah.
What is that? What do you think
so
that's about?
So interesting to me. That just came up. I just did a New Now Next show on that with a female gay porn director. So I asked her for some help. And we sort of just came up with the fact that it's like, when we watch porn, it's not that we want to see the kind of sex that we're having.
Right.
It's like... certain visual cues like turn us on, like you know how like certain spaces can turn you on, or like someone dressed as like in a police officer's outfit can turn someone on, or like a classroom, like when you're because it's like relating to being turned on as like a horny teenager or whatever. So it's like when we watch porn, it's kind of the same thing. So I think for women, when they see two guys getting it on, there's like some sort of cue there for them that's exciting. I mean, guys who are listening, straight guys who are listening to this, like, you watch two chicks having
sex. Same thing, in a way, that's what they like. A lot of guys watching it. So I was thinking, for a lot of our women listeners, our female listeners, And our male listeners, who can write in and disagree if you don't agree with him. But I'd love to hear some oral sex tips. Menace has this theory on the show that whenever I give oral sex tips, how to perform better oral sex than a man, he's like, only a gay man's going to know that, because you don't know, because you don't have a penis. That's what he says to me. So what would you say are your like top three tips for performing like good oral sex
on a guy? Top three tips. Wow. Okay. So I think first is, I mean, guys love to be deep-throated. Like, that's just
they
the
do,
thing.
They do, right?
So, totally. So learn how to relax your throat. I mean, this is
how
like
do you
that.
Learn? What do you do? Exercises?
Yeah,
like
you just
gym?
Do that classic. Usually gag reflex is more, I think, psychological than
it
physical.
Is, right.
You know, it's like you get anxious about choking, so you... But so you just teach yourself to think about it differently as you're doing it. Like, you just breathe through your nose. You make sure you're breathing. Yeah. So breathe as you get that all the way down your throat. I think the other thing is every guy has a different part of like sensitivity, like a different part of his penis is more
it's
sensitive.
True,
than
right? Like, every guy, like some people are like the tip, some people are like the rim, the perineum. I mean, not the perineum, well, and the perineum or the frenulum on the penis. Anyway, so
or
great.
even some guys like having their balls licked or like their taint licked more than they like getting head. So I mean, I would say just pay attention to that. Like, that's a huge tip that people like talk about the mechanics of oral sex, but I think actually just paying attention to the response that you're getting from your partner.
You
is
have
huge,
to.
Huge.
You have to pay attention. Yes. Right. That is such a good. That is a great tip, and we always talk about that on the show. How. You just find yourself doing things and we're so in our own head, like trying to figure out, am I doing this right? Am I doing this right? But we're not paying attention to our partner. It's like this one-way street, and you should pay attention. Like, are they happy? Are they breathing? Are they like look excited? Are you are they squirreling in pain? Do you even know?
Are they screaming? Right. Yeah. And I think like, because some guys, like, if you suck on the head of their penis, it's so sensitive that they can't stand it. And other guys, they don't have as much feeling there.
Right.
So you want to find like where they're the most sensitive. Yeah, totally listen to them. And I think that it's like if you try to kiss everybody the same way, it's not going to go down.
No,
like,
it's
you have
not.
To meet someone halfway.
Right.
Because it's about their pleasure and yours.
Exactly.
Right? So that's tip number two.
Right, tip number two.
Tip number three. Let's see.
Sorry to put you on the spot here, but I figured,
I mean, I think it's pretty simple as don't forget the balls, you know, but don't...
Don't forget the family jewels, right?
Yeah, but don't suck on them too hard like you're trying to, you know, because again, you don't know how sensitive your partner is there. Wait, I have another tip, though, that's even better.
Give me four! Okay. Give me 10!
It's going to go on an oral sex tip marathon, which is when you're sucking, don't just like put it in your mouth. Like, actually suck on it. Like, as if you were like if you stick your thumb in your mouth and suck on your thumb.
Okay.
Like, that's why it's called sucking. It's not just called like putting it in your mouth. Like,
right.
Actually, like suck on it. Right. And that creates some pressure and some friction, but it's all lubed up because it's your spit is there. So right. That feels really, really good. And while you're doing that, you can move your tongue around while
yes,
you're doing that
yes,
as well.
Yes, the yeah. tongue move around. Yep. That's a good one. And what about hands?
I am, for myself, I prefer hands-free, both giving and receiving.
Oh, okay.
But some guys usually like the hand. Now, the thing is, I think guys that like the hand are often, their partner isn't sucking hard enough when they have it in their mouth. So, like, the hand compensates for the lack of pressure.
Oh, so if you sucked hard enough, then you won't. You're kind of falling back on your hand.
Yes, totally.
So it's sort of a cop-out.
for me, it's a little bit. But I actually think, to bring somebody to orgasm, right. Yeah, a lot of times you need to use your hands.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay, those are good tips.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
No problem.
Okay, that's awesome. And then I was going to ask you, okay, so you also answer sex questions, as I do, for Logo,
yeah,
correct?
For their New Now Next website, yes.
New Now Next website. So what are the common sex questions that you get asked?
Common sex questions, so I get a lot of stuff about people. I get lots and lots of questions about what it means when someone doesn't want to have sex with you, about rejection, about like anxiety, about sort of feeling abandoned by your partner, that
right.
kind of stuff. Do you get a lot of
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I do. I do. Anxiety about being abandoned, that they're afraid someone's going to leave them.
Yes.
And yeah, I get some of those, yeah.
But also, what does it mean when someone doesn't want to have sex with me? What does it mean when I don't want to have sex with them? Because people think that... like we're supposed to be on all the time,
yeah,
and it's just not true.
We're not.
And also, like, we don't have to like every single moment of every sex act. Like, it's not going to be totally perfect all the time. And once you let go of that, it makes it a lot more enjoyable.
Right.
Actually.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. I get asked, you know, about orgasm. Usually, it's usually like a lot of men, I would say lately, or it goes in trends. There's trends in our emails for some reason. I don't know if it's like what's going on in the ether, but like a lot of men are like, why won't my wife have sex with me?
Yeah.
Or why won't, so it's sort of the same thing. Like, yeah. Why won't this person have sex with me anymore? And I think it's like mismatched libidos, things change, you get older, hormones, all those things. So
there's so many different
reasons.
There's
a lot
reasons.
Of people not having sex.
Yeah.
It's just very right. sad. It's very sad.
Or feeling bad, or maybe feeling bad about not getting sex and maybe like pronouncing it a little bit more than it is, you know what I mean? Like, and I think like something I get a lot is, why won't my partner initiate sex?
Right.
And I've tried to answer that, and it's like, well, why do you want your partner to be the one to initiate? What is that saying about you?
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
You're insecure and feeling like you're the one who's always doing it. Why aren't they doing it back? Yeah, I've gotten that too. I've gotten that from men who are like, you don't initiate. But I'm like, well, because you always do. So it's good. It's fine. But then people want to feel needed, and they want to feel like you want them just as much as they want you. And then I get it.
Yeah, totally. And I think you are in a little bit of a different position. I try not to answer actual sexual health questions because I'm not a sexual health like practitioner,
right.
or whatever
right.
the actual title
right.
would be. So I always try to answer questions that are about perspectives, about sex, about what you're thinking about when you're in the bedroom, what your feelings are like when it comes to love and sex and that sort of stuff.
Because yeah, that's important.
Those questions don't get answered enough, I don't think.
No,
like,
you're right.
Yeah.
There, a lot of people are just confused by it. And yeah, that's good that you focus on that sexual. I guess I focus on a little bit of everything.
Yeah, you do everything. Yeah.
I guess so, yeah.
You're very
yeah.
promiscuous.
Very promiscuous. I am so promiscuous. Now that I'm here in LA, no, I haven't done anything. Okay, well, okay. I want to look at one of your essays. You're a prolific writer. You've written a lot of stuff. What's your website real quick? People can find
so
you.
The website for my writing is just connorabib.wordpress.com. So that's
the blog, and we'll have
right
that
now.
On my website
okay,
as well.
Awesome. Yeah.
Sexwithemily.com is where you should all go and check it out. Talk to you about cruising rest areas. Did you cruise them yourself?
Yep, that's that whole essay for Salon, which is also...
Because that's like a known thing. Does that still happen? People are...
Oh, yeah, totally. So that's in Best Sex Writing 2013. And that that essay caused kind of a shitstorm.
Really?
Actually.
Good
yeah,
for
I wrote
you.
It for, I wrote it for Salon, and people freaked out because there's this long tradition. I mean, it's been going on forever of like gay men meeting at rest areas and public places and having sex. And it stems back to the time when gay people couldn't just have sex in their homes.
Right.
So they went out. But this is sort of cultural holdover. And so I wrote this essay about like, well, what might be good about this? Instead of just thinking that's gross, that's screwed up. Like, what are the sort of, what can we empathize with? Not to say it's right or wrong,
right.
But what can we see in this that, might tell us what it's like to be sexual people and
right.
sexual human beings.
And what did you conclude with it?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with this sort of honesty of an encounter. It's like, okay, so men have this huge desire to have sex all the time.
Right.
Like a lot of men, not all men. But so
a lot of men.
Something that a lot of the way society works is that sex isn't provided for them as much as they need it, as much as they want it. And so these rest areas, at least for men who are comfortable having sex with other men, I wouldn't say they all identify as being
right.
gay.
They don't, right? There's a lot of people on the
wedding rings,
whatever.
All that kind of
right.
stuff. Yeah.
Low down. So, down low,
that's right.
So you
show up and you meet someone in the middle of the woods, or you meet someone in a private place, literally, and you have sex with them, and then you go back to your life. And so I think that those kinds of areas, those kinds of spaces, those places where people meet and have sex and then go their separate ways, there's something really honest about that in a weird way. It's like, I mean, in some sense, it's dishonest because those people
right.
are deceiving their wives.
Right,
they're going
home either way.
And not being honest with
hopefully
themselves.
Hopefully showering first, yeah.
Right, right, but the encounter itself is really honest, and it's like, I don't necessarily advocate having sex at rest areas. It can be fun. But I think like that kind of honesty about I'm here because I want you. You're here because you
right.
want me. We want sex. We have this need. We have this desire. Let's do something about it. That could really bring something.
But it's
more
just like strangers.
Lives.
Like you pull up and there's a guy.
Totally.
Your guy. It's that God. The gay community is so different like that,
so
right?
So different.
You just pull up. Like we don't need any whining and dining. You don't need any foreplay.
Yeah.
Like, we're doing this Valentine's Day contest, like the 14 days of foreplay. We're giving away stuff. We talk about foreplay ad nauseum on the show because it's important. But not for gay men as much.
No, no. And I think...
Not that it's not ever important, but really not...
It's important for sure, but it's not... There's also the understanding that sex with someone that you don't know very well, at least for right now, that's still like, that's okay, you know? And when people are going through the whole HIV thing, like there was an epidemic that, you know, has dimmed
right.
a bit in the United States, at least, it's like it still kept happening, but it was like, but be safe about it.
Right.
And so it changed in that way. Now with gay marriage and now that gay relationships are getting a little more sort of standardized, it'll be interesting to see which way it goes.
Exactly.
You know?
I think so too. What about monogamy in the gay community?
I think it's... I get a lot of
what's
crap
trans?
For this.
Yeah.
I think it's impossible.
Okay, really? Why?
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
I think it's impossible being a heterosexual. So.
I think it's almost impossible being a heterosexual, but you have so much social pressure to do it
exactly.
that I think sometimes it keeps... It's sort of like smoking pot. It's like... Everybody wants to do it, right? Well, not everybody. I don't
right.
smoke pot, but a lot of people want to do it, and people do it anyway, even though there are laws in place, not in California,
right.
but laws in place to tell you can't do it. But there are some people that will not do it because of the laws. But
right.
mostly that's not the case. I think
right.
the same thing for monogamy and straight people. It's like straight people don't really love monogamy.
No.
It's like it's torturous in a lot of ways.
Yes.
But I think the social structures sort of keep it in place for you guys. We don't have that as
right.
much, so it's even less common. And then the people who think they're being monogamous, I read all these sociological studies that said, no, they thought they were, but actually one partner was not being monogamous.
Right, it's always
was.
Like that. So
yep.
why do they even agree to it then? You think a lot of the gay couples is because they feel like they society or they want to...
I think people don't like to... I mean, in general, same thing for straight people. We don't like to face our... We don't like to face the things that we're doing in a compulsive way. It's
right.
like, I think monogamy is great if you've made a real intentional decision to be monogamous.
Right.
And I think open relationships are great if you made an intentional decision to be
right.
in that. But most people are monogamous because they're afraid they're going to lose their partner. And most people are open because they're afraid of commitment.
Exactly.
So we shouldn't be doing things out of fear. We should be doing the things that we actually want.
Exactly. Like
yeah.
you should no judgment on it. Like you should just do what you want to do. Like I've
yes.
been toying with like I have been in committed relationships, but it never has felt right for me personally.
Yeah.
I've done it for a while, but then I'm like, I don't want to be with one person.
Yeah.
Like I think I should be a gay man in my next life or something.
Well, and
or maybe in my previous life.
Yeah, you kind of are. I think that the pressure on a woman to be monogamous is insane. Like, I can't even.
I know.
I mean, with a guy, it's like, well, guys cheat, you know. But the attitude about women being monogamous, I cannot even understand how much pressure women must face.
Yeah.
And then if someone says something like you're saying, you're sort of branded as like, well, she's not relationship material.
Right.
She's
yeah.
not somebody I could
totally.
Be with.
I'm not relationship material. Everyone, if any of you're listening, I'm definitely not relationship material. It's
she
so
definitely
true.
Is. You just have to appreciate her for who she is.
Exactly. That's exactly it. So tell me about your book, Everything You're Not Supposed to Know About Sex. What am I not supposed to know? I thought I knew everything.
Yeah, well, that's the working title for my book that comes out next year.
Okay.
From Disinformation. And this is actually the first announcement I'm making.
Oh, my God! I'm so excited.
I just got the deal all sealed and everything. So that book is about sort of cultural and historical stuff that you've never heard about sex and that you don't know. So it's not just stuff you could just look up on the internet. It's
like
you'd have to do some scholarly work, which is what I'm doing to find it out. Like, why do people demonize masturbation? Where does that come from? Well, we just assume it's the church, but actually it has a much weirder origin than
really?
That. Yeah, which, and there's a chapter about this guy who was friends with Abraham Lincoln, who was in all this sex occult practices and stuff like that. That's not, that's public record. It's not like some conspiracy theory or whatever. What is the most searched for porn term in the world?
What is it? Oh.
I'll tell you this one.
Okay. Because
it's in somebody else's book, so I'm just taking their research. Yes.
Gay, either.
No, single most searched for a term.
It's either fisting or rimming. No?
For all porn?
And, I don't know. No,
you'll
what
be
is
shocked.
It?
Mom.
Mom? What do you mean all porn people search for mom?
So MILF porn.
MILF?
So MILF porn is the highest search for porn, but the term mom and porn, like, they're searched for together, like, more than anything. So people want to see moms, like, basically they want to see older women having sex. That's what's going on right now. And like,
really?
The porn lab, totally crazy.
Well, it's funny because I was just at the sex convention last week and they were giving awards. It was the XBiz Awards.
Yeah, yeah,
do you
yeah.
know about this?
Yeah.
And they had the MILF, the actress who won, who was like MILF of the year. And I was laughing so hard. I was like, okay, there's the category of everything. I did not know that.
Yeah. So there was all this research done on that by these two guys. I'm doing them a disservice by citing their research and not remembering the name of their book. But I think it's A Billion Wicked Thoughts is the name of the book. I might be a little off on that, but the one, it's Gaddam, G-A-D-D-A-M, and Ogas, O-G-A-S.
Okay.
So they're the names, so you can look it up.
Good.
But they did all this like research on internet searches for porn. And so that's to collect information about sex.
Right.
And so
that's
what they came up
so
with.
So interesting. Yeah. Where do you get all your materials for research and stuff? Just online or?
No. I read like 700 page books. Yeah.
Oh my
about
God.
This kind of stuff. So I'm deep in the work, you know, because a lot of it's, you know, I don't want to just do stuff that you can find on the internet. It's not fun for me then. Why would you buy a book?
Right.
You
know? That's true.
Yeah.
I'm doing this for school. I'm getting my doctorate in March.
Yeah.
And I've got like a stack of books over there that are like 700 pages that
are
hard to get through.
They're hard. They're mind-numbing.
But it's important.
But
it's mind-numbing, but it's like the real like sex stuff, like where it's happening.
It's the real work for sure.
It's not the real work.
Just
it's
what
not
you can look
easy.
Up on Wikipedia.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so coming up, you're speaking at the MoMA.
Where? I am. I'm speaking at MoMA PS1 on January 27th.
In New York?
In New York City.
Okay.
So there's an event. There's this big profile on me in this magazine called Badoon, and they have an event at MoMA. And so I'm one of the speakers there. And so I think it's going to be awesome.
What are you going to talk about?
I don't know yet.
Oh.
I think I'm going to talk about sex and spirituality because that's a big
focus
those intersections. Yeah,
so how so with spirituality? Like, what do you mean? Sex? I mean, I know what sex and spirituality is, but how does it with you?
Well, for me, it's not like when most people say that, they mean like the Kundalini or Kama Sutra. I'm not interested in that. I'm sort of interested more in
or
like...
tantric.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that stuff is cool, but that's not... It's like... It's kind of... been done, you
right.
know. So, like, for me, it's like how does sex intersect with like spiritual, different spiritual traditions, different religions, that kind of stuff, and what can it tell us about the human spirit, basically. Right. That's interesting.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I love it. That's what you should talk about. I think that's interesting.
Thanks.
Well, thank you. Is there anything else that you would like to add that we have not hit on? I'm trying to think. We covered a lot. Before you leave,
yes.
I have to give you a screaming O vibrating ring.
Awesome.
Okay. I asked him when he came in. I was like, Connor, have you ever used one? Everyone should check out Screaming O. The coupon code is Emily, I believe. It's Emily. If you go to screamingo.com or you go to my website. And they're vibrating rings and they're great.
I've had cock rings.
Right,
yeah,
cock rings. But these cock rings are more like, well, they have like vibrations, which a lot of, have you ever used a vibrator? Or vibrating anything on your testicles or
never.
No.
Just a tongue.
A lot of people like the vibration. I mean, this is a lot of it's for straight couples too, because it's got a vibrator on it, so it hits the woman's clitoris, but they feel
awesome
really good.
Yeah.
I've got so much stuffing from Screaming O. So if you guys are interested, Screaming O makes every single kind of vibrating ring that exists on the planet, and you can just go to screamingo.com or go to my website and check it out.
And I just want to say, like, this is like not a BS thing where she's just supporting. She's like, she's actually giving me one because I'm really excited to try it.
I know.
It out.
We're going to my...
Yeah.
Like my entire front room over there is filled with Screaming O toys that I want to give away to you.
Awesome.
I want you to use them, and maybe you could use them on a set or something.
Yeah, if someone lets me use one on a set and I like it, I would definitely...
Okay.
I'll vibrate it.
You'll vibrate
all the way,
yeah. And then I got another thing to talk to you about real quick before we go is masks. So the Listerine strips. I wish I had one on me, but they're like Listerine strips. But here's my question for you. As a porn star, is there ever anyone's semen or penis that you don't like the taste of?
Well, we don't really do that. Well, it's becoming more common, but the porn I do,
I only use condoms,
so we don't, I mean, we don't use condoms for oral sex, but we don't do a lot of oral cum shots.
Right.
But we've been starting to do that, venture out in that area
a
little bit more.
You could try some. That could
So is there anybody whose taste I don't like?
Has that ever happened to you historically?
Yeah, sometimes if people eat like a lot of jalapeno peppers,
yes, you're just eating papaya and pineapple, and there's all these things. Yeah. But these strips you put in your tongue, and they come in four flavors, and so it masks the taste of semen. Like some women,
for example, got it.
You put it in your tongue, and you don't like so. Then it's like the next time you perform oral sex at a guy, it'll taste like a milkshake or something.
I think that's awesome because if there's something guys like to come in. People's mouths.
Yes, they do.
We shouldn't just prohibit that just because, like, there's some sort of, like, gross factor. Because the weird thing about sex is, like, if you think about any of it, it can all be gross if you think about it the wrong way.
But
so,
you
like,
just got to get into it and then
totally.
Not worry about the gross. And I don't care about semen. I've never had any semen. I've never, like, kicked any semen out of my bed. But, but it's some women, like, for example, and I'm sure there's some men who, like, will not perform oral sex because they don't like the taste. So, anyway, that's one of those things. So that's what we got time for today, Connor. Thank you so much for being on the show.
So awesome, and it's so great to be here.
Oh, my God, it's so fun. And you can find out all your information. You give it your website again, but we'll also have it at sexwithemily.com.
Okay, great. And
my show is
on New Now Next, so if you want to see
New
that.
New Now Next, okay.
Yep.
And you got your show, and then Twitter. Do you do Twitter?
I do Twitter. It's just at Connor Habib, and I love talking to people through Twitter. I love Twitter so much because it's introduced me to so many great people. And
cool!
Yeah, just I love it. So
okay,
please
good.
Keep in touch. Yeah,
follow you in there, and then you can follow me, Sex with Emily, on Twitter. It's at Sex with Emily. Facebook is Sex with Emily is my page. You can also email me. So everyone, thanks for listening. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com. Thanks for tuning in to Sex with Emily. One of the reasons you're able to listen to us for free is because of the incredible people at Good Vibrations. Good Vibrations is a sex-positive company based in San Francisco with an amazing website. I got my very first vibrator from Good Vibrations, so I hold a soft spot in my heart for them. They have a huge online store at goodvibes.com. You can find literally anything on there from toys to DVDs to games. Just click on the Good Vibrations banner at sexwithemily.com and enter GVShipEmily for free shipping. So check it out. You'll help yourself and you'll help keep Sex with Emily free, just like it should be. Thanks for listening. I promise your sex life will improve.